Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, Disney has made some changes to FastPass Plus, and for the most part, these are fixes to most of the things that we complained about FastPass Plus when it first came out. So yeah, this is
so
good.
So basically it feels like FastPass Plus, or okay, so the My Disney Experience section of FastPass Plus feels less beta-y to me.
Right. Like, I think the most important one is that you don't have to go to the kiosk anymore to make additional FastPasses after you've gone through your first three.
Yeah.
I think you still have to wait until you're done with your first three, but you don't have to hit those kiosks. You can make additional FastPass reservations through the app.
Correct, which was, you know, so essentially all they've done is they've finally taken the kiosk functionality and given it to you in the app. And now I'm sure there's got to be some way. I haven't heard exactly how this is playing out in the parks, but I know there's going to be some way because surely they don't expect everybody to have access to My Disney Experience. But for those of us who do, we finally can avoid having to go get in the kiosk line, grab, you know, inevitably you had to grab everybody's magic band, at least the first time that you went, because you hoped essentially what I got told by a cast member is everybody should be linked together, but if they're not, you're going to have everybody's magic band. And if you don't, then you've got to cancel out what you're doing. And by the time you get back, whatever you want may not be there anymore. So they've made it a whole lot simpler, I think, to get those additional fast passes.
Right. I lied. That's not the best thing. I think the best thing kind of ties in. It ties into that kind of like, so you don't have to go to the kiosk to make extra ones, but you also don't have to waste any. Like, you don't have to make three all at once. And I think that is kind of the ultimate two improvements that they could have made. Is one, like, if you're at Epcot, you don't have to make a fast pass for Living with the Land or whatever just to use that third fast pass slot. You can just make fast passes for Test Track and Soarin', and save your third one. And I believe you can even make that third one for another park, but not having to use all three at one time and being able to make a fourth in the app, I think that is like, that makes FastPass Plus 100% better.
You know, and now something like Epcot kind of makes me wonder how exactly they're going to set that up. Because let's say that I just made one FastPass for Mission Space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what are they going? Because doesn't Epcot have that whole setup where like you can only do, you know, it's like one from column A, two from column B or whatever?
Right. So is that still in effect?
From what I've seen on the app, it is. But at the same time, like once I've completed my column A, so like let's say that the only thing that I made was my Mission Space, right? And I just didn't make the other two, because now you don't have to do that. And then I go do my Mission Space first thing in the morning. Am I at that point going to be able to make it? Of course, let's all be honest, Test Track probably going to be completely gone by that time.
Right.
But if I could I make another column A selection at that point, or am I still going to have to like finish out? Because the way that the language on the app reads, it's something to the effect of like, after you've done your three, then you can make one at a time. What is it, like an hour after, or whatever the stipulations on that are?
So from what I understand, to answer your question, I think that if you made Mission Space, once that has dropped off, meaning once you redeem that with your magic band and you're standing in line for Mission Space, I think that you can go in and make any FastPass selection at that point. Like once you've, quote, used that Mission Space FastPass, I think then you're free to make anything. So the research that I was doing on this, because some parts of this aren't super well documented by Disney, but you know, with blogs and people actually using these. So you cannot park hop if you're making your three original selections. Like if you're going to make three at once, they all have to be in the same park.
Right, right. So, but, so essentially the same way it's always been.
Right, but you can park hop, and this is a the I don't know what website I'm on, but this guy put a little scenario. And if you have a fast pass for Pirates of the Caribbean at 11, and at 11 you tap your magic bands and go in the line. At that time, My Disney Experience will allow you to make another fast pass selection at any park. And then, so like in this scenario, they made another fast pass, their second fast pass for Living with the Land at Epcot, and then made a third one for Fantasmic at Hollywood Studios.
You could park hop with the kiosk version once you had used your three. Then I could go to Hollywood Studios and, or, you know, say I started Epcot, then I could go to Hollywood Studios and make one at the kiosk, right?
Right. But that was, park hopping was unlocked after you used three. Now park hopping is unlocked after you've used one.
That is weird because...
As long as you've only made one, I think that's also the key. You have to only make one, and once you've made that one initial one, then park hopping is unlocked. If so you make two and then use the first one, I don't think park hopping unlocks at that point.
Right. So if you have a park hopper ticket, that definitely is a huge advantage.
Yes.
Compared to the old version of FastPass Plus. But at the same time, like, you know, because the way that Disney says, they say you can plan up to three FastPass Plus experiences per day at a single theme park. After you redeem all three FastPass Plus experiences the day of your visit, you can select an additional FastPass Plus experience for the same day based on availability.
Right.
So, the language here is just awkward. But so this guy's saying that he's actually used it that way?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm trusting person who has actually used it.
It's DrDisney.com.
Okay. So DrDisney.com says it works this way. I'm actually going to trust DrDisney.com over the My Disney Experience Q&A because they're using unclear language like up to three experiences and then after you use all three experiences. So, yeah.
Right. Disney always uses lawyery language.
Right. So now, but now I really want to know. So, because for Epcot and Hollywood Studios, you have that one from column A, two from column B setup. Like, what happens? What happens after I use my one column A? Can I use another column A?
That has to be going away. You know, I think the column A, column B thing is still going to be in effect if you're making more than one. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're just making one, it doesn't matter. But if you pick...
I guess that way you don't have the advantage of making them ahead of time, though, right?
Right, yes. So if you made Tower of Terror for 8, or whatever, 9 a.m., whenever the park opens, you would have to go and get in line for Tower before you could then pick Toy Story Midway Mania or Rock and Roller Coaster, whichever one of those is in the same group as Tower. But yeah, so you wouldn't be able to... 60 days ahead of time, or 30 days, whichever one it is, make the both of those. You would have to wait until the day of, and that, you know, for at least for Toy Story Midway Mania, would be near impossible.
Right. So one thing that I will say that I'm really, I don't know, I don't think I'm, I like it, but I don't like it. Okay. So I'm just going to throw it out there like that, is you don't search by attraction anymore. You search by time.
Right. And so, they just tell you what's available at the time you search.
Right. So, you know, so like looking at it for, you know, Epcot, you know, again, they do still have the, you may plan only one of these per day and then other experiences available. You know, I can go in and I can select morning and then I'm going to see, you know, that Mission Space is 9:45, 10:45, 11:50. But there's also going to be some afternoon times available. There's also going to be some evening times available that aren't going to be immediately showing up to me because I don't have that part selected. So I don't know. Part of me would like to, you know what? I'd like to just have the option. I want to be able to see it because I do like the idea of scheduling everything by time. I do think that that's helpful, but I think there are other times when I just want to see, you know, what's everything that you have available for Mission Space?
Right, because you might be looking for, you know, 1 p.m. to see what you could do after lunch, but if there's an opening for Test Track or Soarin' or, you know, something at the park you're at 4 or 5, you still might want to book that.
Right. But at this point, it is essentially, they've actually brought this very much in line with dining reservations now.
Yes, they have. That's such a good comparison, because it is very much like booking dining now.
Yeah. So you say, I want a restaurant at lunch, and then you're going to see all the restaurants available at lunch. Now you say, I want a fast pass around lunch or, you know, afternoon, and then you're going to find out all the fast passes that are available at that time. So, but again, I think that is definitely an improvement over the with the old system. I never liked that. Essentially, you had to go in and select, you know, whatever three attractions you wanted, and then you had to go in and try to, and then you could go in and adjust the timing of each one. But you had to be careful, because if I had, you know, say I have Mission Space from 9:45 to 10:45, and then I have, you know, Turtle Talk with Crush from 11:50 to 12:50. If I wanted to move Mission Space from 11:50 to 12:50, it would not even show me if there was availability, because I have Turtle Talk with Crush there.
Right.
So, like I said, I think this is definitely an improvement on that side of things. But to me, the big headline is the kiosk, or not having to do the kiosk and being able to do everything from my phone.
Right.
Because I love that. I love that aspect. That was one thing that really bugged me, you know, on my last few trips. It's like, clearly all that I'm doing when I'm going to the kiosk is basically using my Disney experience. Why am I not doing this on my Disney experience? Why am I doing this on a clunky kiosk that I have to wait in a line for? Then I get up there and, you know, the screens were really wonky.
Yeah.
They were,
and the lines were always really long.
Yeah. 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 And it's just causing you to, like, why isn't the whole point of FastPass that I don't have to wait in lines? I'm waiting in line to not wait in line. That seemed a little bit odd, but it is nice to know that they finally fixed that that problem. I mean,
right. And I think one of the smaller additions, one of the smaller improvements that they introduced was that you can remove individuals from FastPass reservations, so that individual can then go do something else. So, like, if you had a party of three and you made a reservation for Space Mountain, and one person decided they didn't want to do it, you can just remove that one person, and they can go and make a reservation for themselves. Whereas before, you had to cancel the entire reservation and then remake it for just the two people in your party.
Yeah, and it also seems like this would be easier to make those sorts of reservations, because, you know, I know, like, before, there were certain things that Nancy did not want to do that I wanted to do, you know, Tower of Terror, for example.
Sure, yeah.
But it was such a pain to go in and try to, you know, make some reservations together and some reservations apart that you just made them all together and
right.
just deal with, which now I will say does lead to some advantages of, you know, I grab her, you know, go do Tower, come out, grab her magic band and go back through the line again.
And go do it again, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that wasn't all bad. But yeah, maybe she wanted to go do something else while I was doing Tower, and now we would actually have the ability to do that. So I do like that as well.
Disney has also been testing, and it's been off and on. It's been at different parks. It's been happening and then not happening everywhere, but premium parking. So basically, you could pay, what, a $15 premium to get a closer parking spot at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, guess what? I always get a really close parking spot. It's called, well, I get a closer parking spot than most people who park do, and it's called using the resort transportation.
Right, using the buses.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so Disney's starting to feel a little nickel and dimey to me.
Yeah, this is, and they've also done, so I think last week we talked about, or maybe 2 weeks ago, we talked about them doing nighttime thing where you could pay an extra $100 or something and stay in the parks after
like
hours
3 hours.
Until 1 a.m. Yeah. Yeah, and they've been testing that in the mornings now too, where you can pay, I think it's $50 and get into the park an hour or two early.
Yeah, I really don't appreciate that, because all that does is, you know, I made this big point about not being upset about the nighttime thing, because as long as it doesn't affect EMH, I'm good. Now it's starting to sound an awful lot like paid EMH.
Yeah, yeah, I think it totally is that. But yeah, just to say that, yes, the nickel and dimey stuff does seem to be more and more frequent now than it has been in past years.
Let's put the morning thing off to the side for right now.
Okay.
And let's talk about premium parking. Like, why? Because, okay, as Epcot, I can somewhat understand. DHS, I can somewhat understand. Animal Kingdom, I can somewhat, because all of these are things where you're going to, you know, I still only somewhat understand it because there's still going to be a tram you can ride to get to the front of the park.
Right. That was what I was thinking. It's like they've always got trams coming around and taking you from your car.
Right. But at Magic Kingdom, you're going to be at the TTC either way.
Right. And maybe part of this whole testing a whole bunch of stuff is them just being more open about what they're thinking about, and maybe they just see that this isn't worth it and they'll not ever do it again.
Yeah, so it's $15 on top of your $20 now parking fee. or if you're a resort guest, you can just pay the $15 to get your premium parking.
Right.
Or even if you're an annual pass holder, you can pay an additional $15 to get the premium parking. I'd never really been that concerned about parking, so I guess it doesn't affect me as much.
And, you know, I haven't either. And in my brain, I'm like, who at Walt Disney World is driving? You know, like, it's got to be such a small amount of people, because most people who are going to Walt Disney World are from out of town.
But dude, then, if you've ever seen those parking lots, it is not a small amount of people.
I know. And like, even riding the buses, when you go, you know, going into the Magic Kingdom, you take that little bus lane to the right, and just the amount of pay windows they have to park.
What about if you're park hopping?
That still seems crazy to me.
But I'm just wondering, like, is there a benefit at that point to having your car closer to the front? So like, let's say that I was going to spend the morning at Epcot and the afternoon at DHS, you know, then I can roll out of Epcot. I don't have to jump on the, you know, I don't have to wait for the tram, then get on the tram to go all the way. And we both know the buses are slow in the middle of the day. Cause if there's not a lot of people around, you know, they're running at their regular schedule. It's not like there's one waiting like at park open or park close. So I can just walk out to my car, jump in the car, drive over to Epcot. And I assume premium parking, once you've paid for it at one park, would, you know, kind of like regular parking, would be good at all of them. And then I can go park at the front of DHS and roll right into there.
See, I don't think that. I don't think that premium parking would roll over. I think regular parking would, but I think you pay that $15, I bet you only get premium parking at the park that you originally paid for it at.
Yeah, I just don't know. But at the same time, I mean, there were plenty of pictures on Twitter, you know, when all this rolled out, of an awful lot of cars that were in those premium lots. So yeah, a lot of people said that was worth it. And some part of me says, it's just one more thing. But on the other hand, if Disney can make the money, why wouldn't they charge another $15 to park a little bit closer?
Well, here's my concern with this. So if they implement this as a thing, more and more and more people are going to deem it worth paying the $15. Then they are going to have to expand what is premium parking, and eventually, taking that to, you know, maybe too extreme a conclusion, it's just cost $35 to park at the Magic Kingdom, or, you know, $35 to park, and everything is premium. And then they come back and it all just starts over and over and over again, because if they're filling those premium lots up in the first hour that the park is open,
they're turning away extra money. But
right.
But that's a balancing act too, I think, because if premium parking becomes, there's only a certain point where premium parking is premium. If you tell me premium parking is half the lot and I'm in the back half of the lot, I'm going to be a little bit irritated that I paid an extra $15 to park, you know, halfway down the lot.
They could have a thing where they guarantee a tram is going to be there when you, like, I don't know. I feel like if they offer this, people are going to pay it. People, you know, if people are paying $20 to park or whatever, if they can park closer for an extra $15, I mean, they're going to do it. You know, like, obviously raising park ticket prices has affected them zero in people coming, and people are paying, you know, $15 to eat a hamburger and like everything is up. There are so many upcharges, and there's so much stuff that's very expensive, and people are doing it. And so if they offer this, if they offer premium parking, people are going to pay for it. And if they then decide, okay, well, we need to offer super premium parking or platinum parking or whatever for an additional $15. So, you know, it's $20 to park, $35 for premium parking, $50 for platinum, you know, super duper great, awesome parking. People are going to buy that too. And it just like parking is finite. Especially good parking. Good parking is a finite resource. There is only so much parking lot that you can offer as premium parking. And eventually, that is going to start being filled immediately. The first, however many people who come to the park, if they're the kind of people who are getting there right when the park opens, they, I think, are more likely to be the kind of people who are going to say, you know what, it's worth it to have the car within a short walk so that when we're done, and either we're going to go home or we're going to go park hop, I don't want to have to search for the car. I don't want to have to wait for a tram. I don't want to have to do all these things. It's worth it for me. And then they're just running out of this finite resource. And what are they going to do? Are they just going to live with that? Or are they going to add more lots to that? Or are they going to change it? Or, you know, I don't know. It just, this, like you were saying at the beginning of this discussion, this nickel and dimey stuff, unchecked, gets a lot worse, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I think that it does. But then on the other side of that, why should Disney care?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, are willing to pay $50 to park,
right,
I mean, why not?
Right. Why would I as Disney, you know, the business who makes money, turn down an opportunity to make more money?
Yeah. No, they shouldn't. They absolutely should not turn that down. But then this whole 15 extra dollars for premium parking isn't really reducing customer experience in a meaningful way. I think, you know, most people are going to have to park far away anyway. Most people are going to have to park at the TTC. So I don't think this is reducing customer experience. But if I can see them saying, if you want to park at the TTC, $20. If you want to park at the park, that's going to be more. And then on top of that, premium is going to be even more.
So you're thinking like they would turn the entire like Epcot and DHS, at least lots, into premium lots, and they would expand the TTC, I guess?
I think the TTC, in this scenario, I think the TTC becomes the $20 lot. Like you don't care about having to get on a overly crowded monorail or, you know, take a bus or whatever. So you're just going to pay $20.
But then
if you're the kind of person who wants to park at the park, you're going to pay $35. And then if you're the kind of person who wants premium parking at the park, you're going to pay $50.
Okay. But then the question becomes, where does the $35 and $50 Magic Kingdom lot exist?
Yeah, see, I don't know.
If the TTC is now the $20 lot, you've essentially just told these people that's only worth $20 for everywhere else. And, you know, and I don't know, because, geez, what were you going to, like, bus people to Animal Kingdom? And then you don't have enough people who are going to pay $35 or $50, I don't think, to go park in the back end of Animal Kingdom. You know, so then you just end up with a bunch of unused parking spaces.
I see. I don't think you do. I think if it costs $35, people will pay $35. It's the same mentality of why people go to Disney or why people buy Apple products or expensive cars. You know, if it costs more, it's got to be better. And I want the better thing, especially on a Disney vacation. We're already paying so much. Like, let's just splurge. Let's get the good thing. Let's park close. I think there is a point, but parking prices have been creeping up pretty steadily over, you know, the last 50 years everywhere. You know, I remember when I was a kid going to the Houston Rodeo and it was $5 to park. And now at the rodeo, it's at least $25 to park. And so it's just like this mentality of if it costs that much, we have to do it, you know, like,
and it must be worth it,
right? If they're going to charge this much more for me to park at DHS, there's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be a reason it costs that much more.
Gosh, I do not like being nickel and dimed. I don't like being nickel and dimed and
sure.
parking and, you know, the resort fee thing.
Yeah.
The, you know, now that this night and day stuff sounds like it could be an EMH. As long as it's not an EMH replacement, whatever. As long as it's as long as you are creating something new, okay. But when you start nickel and diming me for the stuff that you've been giving me all this time, that rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I get that you are a business. I get that it is your prerogative to make as much money as you can, and I can appreciate that. But I can also say that I don't want to pay that much, and
right.
I can disagree with how you're choosing to make your money. And some of these things are starting to feel a little bit like a bridge too far for me. So I don't know. Hopefully we can stop talking about all of these increases, and let's find some other stories. Disney, get in the news for some other stuff for us to talk about.
Like, I'm unhappy with the late night thing and the early morning thing and all these parking increases and the resort fee, but I can pretty definitively say that ain't going to stop me from going. I'm going to just put up with this stuff, you know, and I think most people will. And that's, I'm not proud of it, but I think that's, and they know that, but I think that's kind of the mentality of it, is most people are just going to put up with it. And if this paid thing does subsume EMH, then you're just not going to have EMH anymore. And I think the same number of people will still go.
No. There's no way you're going to have as many people who show up for EMH.
No. I don't mean go early in the morning or late at night if they have to pay, but I mean the same number of people are going to go to the park. You know, they're still going to go
during
Disney
the day
World on
and
their
everything.
Vacation.
Yeah.
They're just not going to have EMH anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Though, I don't know. You start taking away things like EMH and all this other stuff, and maybe, you know, some of the off-property resorts can start making a bigger push for people to stay. Because right now, as an off-property resort, again, if you really start, you know, calculating all the little pluses Disney gives you with the transportation and the EMH and the Magical Express, all those things kind of add up. But once you start nickel and diming me for all of that stuff, you know, then again, that off-property resort starts looking a little bit nicer.
But it's okay
because I'm going to have to pay $50 to park, I guess.
Yeah. I would stay at an off-property resort in a heartbeat if they would offer shuttle service from the airport and shuttle service to and from the parks. So, like, if I could land it at MCO and hop on a Holiday Inn shuttle that would take me to right outside the park gates, you know, and stay at a Holiday Inn right outside. And then if they would take me to the Magic Kingdom, or anywhere, even the TTC in the morning, and come and pick me up, you know, have shuttles until park closing. Because you don't have to be staying on property to take the buses between the parks, right?
Don't know exactly what the rules on that are.
But I mean, how would they know?
They've never enforced it.
Right.
I'll give you that.
If they could offer that, if Holiday Inn and Best Western and the Marriott and all those could offer those two things for me, and even upcharge me for that. You know, have a thing when I'm booking my room that says, are you staying at Disney? Would you like these add-ons? That's going to be $10, you know, on top of your booking fee, or $20 on top of your booking fee. I would stay there. Well, those are the things I'm missing, because the biggest thing for me is, otherwise, I've got to either pay an egregious amount to take an Uber from MCO to Kissimmee, you know, around there where Walt Disney World is, or I've got to rent a car, and I'm not willing to do that. And that's where Disney's got me with Magical Express, is I don't have to worry about that. But if my hotel would provide that, even for a small, you know, an additional fee, that would be fine, because those off-property hotels are so much cheaper, and I'm getting the exact same, minus extra magic hours, obviously, but I'm getting the exact same value out of being able to get to and from the airport and to and from the parks, I see no reason at that point to even stay on property.
Well, so, I mean, off-property shuttles already exist to the park.
Okay. Well, so then I just need them. I just need them to get me to and from the airport.
Yeah. So right now, though, Magical Express is the reason that you don't do that. Right. If Magical Express was suddenly, let's say, $20 a person,
I would still do it because it's still cheaper than renting a car. And that's my only other option.
But getting an Uber, maybe, you know?
Getting an Uber would cost, I mean, that's a 45-minute drive.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, once you start charging for all this additional stuff, the getting an Uber becomes something I would never think about to, it's getting close.
Right. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so. Because I know when we went to San Francisco, it was $65 to get from SFO to our hotel. Like, they just had a flat fee. Uber had a flat fee. If you're coming from or going to SFO, it's going to be $65. And, you know, I guess in that case, then you start to really think about how much does this resort cost? How much more, what premium am I paying to stay on property? You know, and it may actually be cheaper at that point. But that is my one sticking point, is getting to and from the airport is where no one but Disney will take care of me in that way.
So, yeah. And again, that's what I'm kind of getting at is, you know, I was just interested to see where's the point where these additional fees reach that level of starting to shift the balance. Where is the tipping point at? And I think Disney's playing with that. So
right. Well, that was a ranty good time.
Yeah. Let's hope that next week we'll try to be less ranty.
Yeah. But that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.